Straight Talk on WRHI is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop for another edition of our Straight Talk program. Presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Our thanks as well to Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road to Camden Avenue in Rock Hill, and to highspeedweb.net that streams our signal 24/7, 365. Well, have you ever heard about the Rock Hill Community Theater? Well, it's a brand new year, 2020, big year to get started. Matt Farrell is with us. He is an assistant professor over at the hallowed halls of Winthrop University. And we're going to be talking with him about a very interesting career this guy's had. And he also is directing this new play called Plaza Suite, which is coming up here very soon. We're going to learn about that today. So, Matt, welcome to Straight Talk.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
So we need to hear a little bit about you.
Sure. Yeah.
We could take a half hour talking about your trips, but good.
We won't. Sure. I'm a military brat. So I was born Langley Air Force Base down in like the Hampton area of Virginia.
Uh-huh.
And then pretty much my whole life we moved around as you do in the Air Force, but we stayed primarily in the Southeast. So I'm North Carolina, Virginia, Texas, Florida, Alabama. And we kept going back and forth. My dad was stationed in North Carolina three times and twice in Virginia. So I pretty much ended up being raised a Southerner.
So you know what grits is.
I do know what grits. I do enjoy grits.
And you know how to say y'all.
Y'all,
okay,
I do.
That's good.
And I had a pretty good Southern dialect going until I went to college, which I went to study acting at the North Carolina School of the Arts. And was told pretty early on, get rid of your dialect or get out of the business.
They were, really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, come on.
Oh, yeah. So I was given long lists of words to redo. Anyway, I ended up going to actually Boston Conservatory and then graduated from Emerson College when I immediately left for a theater tour in Europe. And then for the next 8 years, pretty much toured with different shows, Hair the Musical, Rocky Horror Show, Three Penny Opera, Carnival, and this tour of a show called JFK the Rock Opera.
Oh, my gosh.
That I toured around. And that was, I also did, in that time, a national tour, the 25th anniversary tour of the musical Hair, which was the pre-Broadway tour. And that was back in 94. So I pretty much... out of college, have been pretty much working regularly until about 2014. Long story short, we can go back if we want, but decided to get out of the city. And
get out of New York.
Get out of New York, get off the carousel, and I ended up going to graduate school in Virginia at Virginia Commonwealth University, where I got my MFA in theater pedagogy, which... this program specifically kind of grooms you to go into a theater program and be a professor there. And I had previous teaching experience before that. So, yeah, that's what brought me here.
So he was telling me before we went on the air about all the all the interesting travels you had on cruise ships.
Yes.
Where you performed.
I performed.
And were employed and mm-hmm. were a cruise director and all that kind of stuff.
Cruise director, yeah. I worked in 99. I started out working with Disney Cruise Line when it was a fledgling cruise ship. It had two ships at the time, and I was on the Wonder, and I was the second cast of performers that were on that ship. And then later, back in 2006, I believe, I went back and performed on the Magic. And then with that experience, it takes a special kind of person to work on a cruise ship, like we were talking about, because you're on a ship for 6 months, basically. You obviously get off the ship, but
just out of curiosity, what would a typical day be like on a cruise ship when you were employed
as the cruise director? Or?
Yeah, well, whatever.
Very different from being the cruise director to being a performer. When I was a performer, I worked about 12 hours a week total, so my days consisted of getting off the ship, going to the beach, and doing whatever I wanted, basically, and then I'd do two 45-minute shows in the evening. So that was great. When I was a cruise director, I would literally woken up every morning at 6:30 or earlier with a problem, and it was just nonstop until
midnight
or later.
Yeah.
And But that was a job where I would seriously be trying to sit in a corner to have some breakfast, and I'd be putting eggs in my mouth, and somebody would be like, I got a bone to pick with you. So it was a challenging job, but the reward of the travel, and when you did have great cruises, you know, it was like being around family. So the highlights of it were certainly outweighed sure. the negative.
And it always depends upon the people who are on the cruise, and if they're nice or just a pain in the butt.
Absolutely, there can be one guest just comes for you the first 10 minutes. But what's amazing, not to keep talking about cruises, but people would book cruises and have no concept of where they were going, when they were going, and they'd come to me and be fear, you know, about, we're only here from, you know, 6 p.m. to midnight. It's like, sir, that's what you signed up and paid for. You know,
so read the brochure.
It was amazing that people really didn't know. They just kind of booked a cruise and didn't have any information beyond that. Anyway.
So how did you find out about Winthrop University?
Well, Winthrop was, it was my second year of grad school, and there was a two-year program that I went to. And basically, there's tons of websites that have jobs available, highered.com and all these kind of things. And so Winthrop came up. I didn't know about Winthrop, but several things appealed to me, particularly the job that they were looking for. I had the qualifications. They were looking specifically for somebody that had professional experience within the business, as well as a master's and teaching experience. So it's, you know, it's and I liked the fact that it was close to Charlotte, that I knew the Carolinas growing up. My parents had just retired recently to Waynesville, North Carolina. So it's a job, you know, I applied for the job, but honestly, it was one of those things when I saw the job, I thought, this is my job. I'm going to get this job.
Good for you.
So kept going, had a phone interview, didn't hear much from them. There's a big theater conference every year, the Southeastern Theater Conference, that's held in different places, and I knew Winthrop would be there, so I thought, hey, I'm going to go and see these people face-to-face.
Ah, smart.
So I walked in, I met everybody, and the chair said, hey, you are going to hear from us, and so I heard back from them. I initially came to do an on-campus interview in April of that following year, and yeah. Did, taught some classes, and here I am. So I've been here. This is my fifth semester now. So
fifth
I've been
semester.
Going into my end of my third year. I've directed three productions at Winthrop, a play called She Kills Monsters. I directed last year Annie Get Your Gun, and a production of The Addams Family. So
boy, oh boy.
Been busy.
And we're going to be talking about what it is to be a producer, because that's a whole other thing. So what do you teach over at Winthrop?
It depends. You know, we're a fairly small department, currently we have about 200 students within the Department of Theater and Dance. Currently this semester I am teaching, Voice for the Actor, Directing 2, which results in our students producing a one-act festival in the spring. I am teaching auditioning for musical theater this semester, which we offer every other year. And then I'm also teaching a new class, sort of, Acting 4, which we have configured the curriculum and turned it more into a capstone class for our graduating senior-level performance majors. So that'll be a class where we will look at a classic work. We're looking at The Cherry Orchard by Anton Chekhov, and the students will be performing a full workshop production of that for the final.
So, in between all of this...
Yes, I'm directing something else!
You decided you're going to hook up with the Rock Hill Community Theater.
Yes.
Have you ever done anything with them before?
Never.
Never.
I have not done anything
with them. Who introduced you to Rock Hill Community Theater?
I'm trying to think.
These two guys over here?
Well, not initially.
No?
Not initially. I was aware of the theater, obviously, because that's what I do. I was interested and had gone to see some shows at the community theater when it was in a different space.
Right.
And I knew that ultimately when I got here, I would want to start directing locally, and I just thought this would be a good place to start. I have some Gretchen Cibarelli, who I don't know if she's currently on the board, but I had taught one of her daughters in the past, and I'm currently teaching one of her daughters, and she's very active within the organization. And so I had spoken to her and reached out and said, hey, if they're looking for directors, and when they were, she sent me an email. I applied, and we had, you know, interviewed. I had decided that of the season that they were doing, Plaza Suite was the play that appealed to me the most. It's a classic Neil Simon that originally opened on Broadway in 1968 on Valentine's Day, starring George C. Scott, Maureen Stapleton.
That's a good cast, isn't it?
Good cast. And then, actually, it's opening on Broadway again April 13th of this year, starring Sarah Jessica Parker and Matthew Broderick.
Well, there's obviously no reason to go see that.
We yeah,
see
no, it here. Absolutely right? No reason.
Come
they're gonna
on.
Yeah.
Matthew Broderick, what's he got?
What he has nothing compared to Matthew Farrell. That's right. So that's really what brought me to the community theater, and right. I had seen some shows, and then Holly Christopher, who's now kind of holding the reins. I had met Holly seeing her perform in a production at Rock Hill Community Theater, and then later just kind of knowing her because she's does theater around, you know, and is lighting designs and
so
stuff.
So when
like
is
that.
Plaza Suite going to be rolled out for the?
Oh, sure. We open in February 7th. We run the first two weekends of February. So February 7th, 8th, and 9th, there's a matinee on the 9th, and then the following weekend, Valentine's Day, the 14th, 15th, and 16th, 7:30 p.m. and 2 p.m. on the Sundays.
And who selected the play?
You know what? I'm not exactly sure. I didn't select it. They had a kind of options of the season that they had decided on doing. So when I came in, it was kind of like, where do you see, you know, if you were to direct something, where do you see yourself within the season? And I knew immediately Plaza Suite. It's a classic Neil Simon comedy. I like the language. I like that it was looking at, you know, it looks at these three different couples that are dealing with different problems that are all set within the same suite, 719 of the Plaza Hotel. So it's three one-act plays, basically. It's three completely different stories. Each act tells a different story of a different couple. And it goes everywhere from kind of comedy drama to slapstick to kind of outrageous situational comedy. So it really is a fun evening of theater. And it's also, I think, it's got that classic Neil Simon writing that nobody else compares to. I mean, it's still being done today.
All right, so when the decision was made,
yes,
and you decided to get on board, mm-hmm. you started recruiting actors when?
I didn't really recruit any actors. There's just an audition process where the theater puts out the call, basically, for actors to come audition. And we had, I think, about 20 actors sign up to audition for the show. And we held auditions, actually, if memory serves me, back in November. Or maybe even early. No, I think it was. It was late November. It was the weekend after Thanksgiving. We had two nights of auditions and cast it relatively soon after that. And
so you could tell that quickly. Who's going to be suited for this role? Who's
going to be suited for that role? I think it's actors. When a play that is as specific as the character types, I think it's very specific on some characters. So it was just made, the choices were easier. And then I think from that number of people auditioning, we were casting about seven. So it was, for me, it was fairly easy. I didn't, you know, sometimes you don't know as a director and you cast somebody and you're like, this could go either way. But I've made some good casting choices. There's a really good cast.
But I think it must help the fact that you know this play. And
yeah.
You've seen the play, and you know what the storyline is.
Sure.
Have
yeah.
I mean, walking in cold turkey was something you didn't know.
Well, yeah, I'd never directed the play, and I was familiar with the play, but I liked that. I really like a play. What I liked about it is it's got a unit set, meaning we're never going to have to deal with set changes because it's taking place in a living room in a room of a hotel suite. So that makes it super easy in rehearsal, the fact that we're just rehearsing with a sofa and a bed other things, and that's never going to change. So it's not a big technical thing in that. And I also like, for the audience, that they get a different... It's like three shows in one. It really is. But you're familiar with the setting, and so that's the appeal to me. Also, I like that it's... a timepiece. It's set in 1968, and I think you have to keep it set in 1968 just because of, I think it sort of changes the storyline if you take it out of that moment in time.
So is part of the storyline have to do with the war in Vietnam?
Not really. No? Not really. There's, you know, but I think it's mostly the attitudes, the timing. Sometimes it feels to me like either a Carol Burnett show or Laugh-In at times mixed with, but it's also, I think, the ideals, how the attitudes about men and women and the roles and relationships and what is appropriate and inappropriate today in our sexual morals and what was accepted in the 60s and what you could say to somebody. And I think the theater's a great lens, I think, and we can look at it and say, hey, was that appropriate? Are we still cool with this? Or, you know, how do we feel about this thing now? But I think for the most part, I'm as a director, I'm not trying to make it a psychological piece. because I think the beauty of it is the language of Neil Simon and the fun and us being able to laugh at other couples, you know, seeing that, okay, yeah, we do that in our relationship.
So that's when you know the play has been well-received, when people are, ha, 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 ha.
I think when they identify with it. But I think the great thing, again, about the three different stories is there's something to identify in everything. There's a marriage of 23 years that is kind of deciding, you know, what's happening. They've lost the love. How are they going to deal with that? There's the second act deals with a high school romance that they haven't seen each other in 17 years, and now one of the male counterpart has become a big Hollywood producer, and she's coming in to kind of see him and what happens there. And then the third act deals with the Hubleys, Roy and Norma Hubley, who are there with their daughter, Mimsy, who is getting married, and she has locked herself in the bathroom. So they're trying to get Mimsy out of the bathroom, down to the reception at the Plaza, and basically we're trying to see, is their marriage going to survive this?
Did anybody think that maybe she decided she didn't want to get married?
So it really offers three different unique stories that are all fast-paced, have firecrack dialogue, and it's an enjoyable evening. And also, I think because there's I think theater... If you like short attention span, none of the, you know, it's 30 minutes, 20 minutes, 30, you know, it's kind of broken down, which I think sometimes people hesitate going to theater because it's like, I don't know if I can do the whole 2 hour thing.
That's good. It sounds like my kind of play.
Yeah.
So where are you all holding the plays?
Sure. Yeah. Rock Hill Community Theater right now is housing their stuff in Illumin Church, which is on River Chase Boulevard. And the best way, it's right by that Auto Bell and Starbucks on Celanese.
Right across the street from the Outback.
Yeah, right, absolutely. Yeah. So I don't know what that space was originally.
It was a gym.
Okay, yeah. So obviously it's a big kind of warehouse kind of space. So we are in, if you go in, if you know the space, and we're off to the left, there's a huge space that we just kind of adapt into theater. And we're having load in this weekend, so we're bringing in walls and furniture and lighting. And we will turn that space into a suite at the Plaza Hotel.
Well, and that's part of the production of a play that I'm sure most people can't appreciate. How does all this get done? In other words, the set.
Sure.
You have people who are going to be working on the set.
Absolutely. And yeah, we have a set designer, lighting designer, costume designer, stage managers, beyond that.
And so, these are all people who just love the theater.
Yes. I have used my Winthrop connections just because when I went in, the board is kind of like, you're welcome to bring on your own designers. So I'm using student designers from Winthrop that are, you know, higher level, that are kind of ready to tackle some other things. So those are one is a graduate. And then within the cast, I have two students. I have a faculty member that's in the cast. And then we actually have another cast member that's a Winthrop alum from years ago.
So, do they give you a budget to work with on this?
There is a budget. I don't actually know what the budget is because I'm kind of operating from.
You just run up the bills, right?
No, we haven't really. I mean, so far, I haven't really spent anything. I mean, we've.
It's mostly volunteers.
And it's community, you know, which this has been great, too. I mean, I think I haven't been involved with community theater since the 80s, but I will say this is truly community. We're sharing a space with the church. They're having worship service on Wednesday nights while we're in there rehearsing Plaza Suite, you know. So it's really an effort.
That's a great church. They're very involved in the community.
They do a lot of
people know them through their... What they've recently taken on with the annual Thanksgiving dinner for thousands of people.
And we experienced that because we had callbacks, or it was the second night of auditions, and we were thinking we were going back to the room, and this woman came out and she said, oh, we're pulling turkeys tonight. So we got kicked out.
All right, we're going to have to take our mid-program break. Reminder that you are listening to Straight Talk, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Now, okay, here we go, Matt. What we do here at Substation 2 is we prepare fresh subs and salads 7 days a week right before your eyes. You just had a delicious salad, right?
Did,
it was good, right? The magic is these white letters, and we all do it together at the count of three. We all say it, right?
Okay.
As loud as you can. One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Slice.
Garden, 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 garden. Everybody's got it. Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
Have you ever wondered why so many people enjoy dining at Substation 2?
I love their fresh meats and the sweet wheat bread.
The bread, their quality meats, and their prices.
It's just always a great, consistent meal.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
This is Danny Rogers with Paul Davis Restoration. When you are faced with damage to your home, there is only one company you need to know, Paul Davis Restoration. Only one company with 50 years of corporate support and 20 years of local presence. Only one company with 8 trained and certified water mitigation techs on call and ready to respond to your loss 24/7, 365. There is only one company you need to know. Call Paul Davis Restoration, 803-329-1140.
These days, there are plenty of ways to stay connected to the internet. Laptops, phones, tablets, games, you name it. But the more devices you use in your home, the tougher it is to get a strong, consistent Wi-Fi signal. Corporium's premium Wi-Fi kit adds multiple Wi-Fi access points throughout your home, eliminating dead zones and interference, while spreading your signal more evenly so you can enjoy a better online experience. Right now, get our premium Wi-Fi for only $9.99 per month. Premium Wi-Fi from Corporium. Connect your whole home.
Good Pharmacy, taking care of families for four generations.
This is pharmacist Kia Hicklin. We have 6 pharmacists that are knowledgeable, friendly, and ready to get to know your family and their needs.
My mom loves Good Pharmacy.
Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue, Rock Hill.
Now available from Founders Federal Credit Union, Edge Up. Edge Up is the newest and easiest way to fund Founders Loyalty Select, our highest yield savings account. Enroll in Edge Up today, and any purchases made with your Founders debit card may qualify for daily Edge Up transfers. Log into Founders Online to enroll today. Relax, we're giving you an edge on your savings. Account restrictions apply, federally insured by NCUA.
There are lots of reasons why people like dining at Substation 2.
Such distinguished people frequent this place. Enjoy that, and the food is delicious.
The salads are the best in town.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, with a very interesting fellow by the name of Matt Farrell. He's in the theater department.
Theater
department over at Winthrop University. And he has taken on the interesting task of directing Plaza Suite for the Rock Hill Community Theater, which is coming up February 7th, 7th through the 9th, and I guess the 14th through the 16th. You can get your tickets at the Rock Hill Theater with an E on the end, right?
Yes,
theater.org. Tickets are, I don't know, what are they, $10?
15, 12. 15 for adults, 12 for students and seniors.
All right. Good. All right. You got to see this play because this sounds very interesting. 3 couples in the plaza, and they're all different, and I'm already laughing, and I haven't even heard about the play. So, directing a play.
Yes.
When you have all volunteers.
Mm-hmm.
Does that get a little dicey?
It could get a little dicey. I think I've been lucky. Again, we've got a great cast. And it can be a difficult show to cast, but we had a great amount of talent come out. And so I'm really lucky. And these performers have been surprising. And they're basically willing to do anything that I'm asking. And so it's been fun for me. But any theater can be dicey, whether it's community or not, whether even at the professional level or the educational level. There's, you know, that's part of the magic of theater, is that it all comes together somehow against all odds.
And I would think somebody who is going to be selected for a particular role, they got to assume a different personality,
sure,
a different persona.
Yeah, you have to fit
and
what the
your job
requires.
Is to mold them into that.
Yes.
In a way they express their words and say what they say, mm-hmm, and their movements and what have you.
Yes. And it's, you know, and ultimately at the end of the day, it's my interpretation of the script. You know,
you
I'm not, and I think that's what's exciting about theater too, is if you've seen Plaza Suite in the past, or if you've seen the film with Walter Matthau, it's...
you're already laughing.
It's, you know, it's... the intricacies of the relationship or the interpretation of the text is always going to be a little bit different. So this is, of course, my interpretation of that bringing on. And sometimes, you know, you challenge the actor, you ask them questions, you say, hey, what about this? Or sometimes my emotional level of where I think a scene will be is different from what the actors are doing. So you just find ways to build it there. And you keep, you know, the last few nights we've really been doing smaller bits of scenes and doing a lot of repetition and really getting the timing. The timing is very important. Oh, yeah. In this piece,
sure.
Because it's Neil Simon and it's rapid fire dialogue, and of course, you know, the job of the actor is to interpret that text and tell the story to the audience. So that's also my goal: is the audience going to understand the storytelling that we're doing? And then also part of the director is making sure can everybody see from where we're staging this.
Good point.
And so, and it's a challenging space in that aspect.
So, say, how many can you seat in your current place?
You know, it's intimate. We seat about 70 people a night.
Oh, that's
per performance.
Good. That's
so
nice.
You really are getting you're a fly on the wall in a living room, and we're hoping to do some better seating arrangements with some levels this time, so everybody really will have a prime view, and there won't be a bad seat in the house.
Interesting. Yeah. Absolutely interesting. Okay, so you're just about ready to rock and roll. When do you do your dress rehearsal?
Yes.
When does that come up? Like two or three days before?
No. We're actually loading in furniture and stuff. The set was starting to get built last night. Load in will be Sunday, and then we'll start working and seeing if all that stuff works. And I think we should start to have a set probably by next week. So I would imagine maybe next Sunday we would start with dress rehearsal.
And what about the costumes or the dress? I mean, is this just stuff people bring from home?
It's different things right now. We're still doing. We pulled a lot of costumes from the stock at Winthrop University.
Did you get some bell-bottom pants, I mean, for the 60s?
Some for the second act, but most of the couples are, you know, and they're a little bit older, at least middle-aged. And so they're in suits and, you know, of course, at the wedding, we're in tuxes and mother of the bride dress. But it is period. Most of the clothes are period, you know, period.
So no flower children.
No, it's not really that side of the story.
Okay.
The flower children weren't allowed in the Plaza Hotel.
For obvious reasons.
They couldn't afford the Plaza Hotel.
They couldn't pay the rent.
So we're seeing some stories of some affluential people here.
I was going to say, do any of these affluential people have flower children?
Well, sort of. Yeah. Actually, it's getting married. Yeah, the one that's locked herself in the bathroom. You know, so it is. It's great. 68.
This is going to be something. So what do you hope will come out of all this? I mean, the effort and the time you've put into this and all those who are assembled, whether they're doing wardrobe or set design or whatever, lighting, what do you hope will come out of all this?
Oh, I hope that people will come to support live theater, support community theater and live theater. I think theater is different other than any other medium because you're breathing the same air as the actors that are on the stage. So you're sharing, it's a shared experience unlike cinema or anything like that. And I think particularly with this play, it's just a great way to look into other people's relationships without in a voyeuristic type of way being a theater patron, and again it's also supporting the community. It would be great if Rock Hill Community Theater could have their own space.
They keep working on that, and yeah. If it all comes to fruition here down the road, we're going to have a performing arts center.
Well, there needs to be. You know, I was reading an article talking about that Rock Hill has a symphony orchestra now, and that is kind of the cultural, you know, pinpoint of where a city is. And I think absolutely the community needs to support community theater as well, because there's some great talent within the community and without the region. You know, we have people coming in from all over the Charlotte region and Gastonia and that whole area. Community theater is alive and well in the area.
Well, as our population continues to grow, so too will the interest in the theater, whether it be at the Belk or whether it be right here in Rock Hill.
Absolutely.
All right, Matt, you've done good.
Awesome.
Thanks very much.
Thanks.
Tell everybody a New York boy can say y'all.
Y'all come see this show now.
Yeah. All right. And that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program live from Substation 2. Jerry Rode across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Now, the northern boy who's come back to his southern roots now knows how it's done here at the Substation 2, where we have fresh subs and salads prepared right before your eyes 7 days a week. The magical way it's done is right in the white letters. And if you know anything about anything, you'll know how to say this. Are you ready? One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Slice.
Garden, 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 garden.
Not bad. Have a wonderful weekend. We'll see you on the radio Monday. Bye.